The music from one of the five scores nominated for an Academy Award this year. Music from The Theory of Everything. Music by Johan Johansson. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you're the first Icelandic composer to be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Certainly not the first Icelandic composer we've played on this program. I may be America's leading Jón Leifs freak.
Oh, that's. I'm very pleased to hear that. We're very proud of Jón Leifs.
It's a tiny country that has nonetheless produced, I mean, one of the most startlingly original composers of the 20th century.
Yeah.
The Saga Symphony.
Yeah.
I only play it late at night. I mean, you can't. This is not a sunny Tuesday afternoon kind of piece.
No,
and, you know,
no.
You play that thing, you turn down the lights, and it will scare the you know what out of you. It's just an astonishing piece.
He is amazing and has his own voice, which is absolutely unique. And I guess he came at a time, because he was very much like a post-romantic, and he was composing at a time when that was very much out of fashion, and so he was kind of largely ignored at the time.
Totally. And did things that no one has done before since.
No.
Virtually no thematic developments
in
the Saga Symphony, for instance.
No. It's very radical music.
Requires like 16, 17 percussion players.
Yeah.
Including the guy that plays the battery of tuned rocks.
Yes. But at the same time, he's also written very beautiful, delicate music, like the Requiem, for example.
For his daughter.
For his daughter, and his string quartets, which are big favorites of mine.
Yeah. Well, number one, welcome to KUSC. And number two, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's probably sort of a surreal experience.
It is surreal and a lot of fun as well. I'm having the time of my life and really enjoying the whole pageantry and the glamour of it. It's a nice change from the studio, you know.
Exactly. How did you happen to be drawn into the project in the first place?
Well, I met James Marsh briefly a few years ago when I wrote the score for a Danish documentary called The Good Life, on which he was a consultant. And he lives in Denmark, as I did at that time. And he heard my music, and he got familiar with my work. And in the meantime, I did the film Prisoners with Denis Villeneuve. And then a year later, James got this project, Theory of Everything, and got in touch.
Yeah.
And for me, it was really a dream project in many ways, both this fascinating story of this amazing scientist and human being, and the combination of this story with James Marsh directing, who is someone who I've admired for a long time. I've been a huge fan of his documentaries, Man on Wire, Project Nim, Wisconsin Death Trip. So I thought it would be an amazing project, so I was immediately, strongly attracted to it.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some more music from The Theory of Everything, the Oscar-nominated score by Johan Johansson. Music from the Oscar-nominated score for The Theory of Everything, music by Johan Johansson, who is my guest tonight here on 91.5 Classical KUSC Los Angeles, the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California. And I think one of the inescapable points that the movie makes is that Stephen Hawking should have died 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago. He had no business surviving this disease, but he still has, and he's still hale and hearty, his mind as active as ever right now as we speak.
I guess that's one of the, you know, big points or salient points that the film makes, you know, is mind over matter, you know, in a way, and the way that, yeah, that whole aspect of it is certainly an important part of the film. But another aspect, maybe which is more important, is, I guess, the relationships between Hawking and his wife, ex-wife, Jane Hawking. And I think that is really kind of the heart of the film, is that relationship. And certainly a part of that is how they deal with the illness and how they deal with his deteriorating condition and his sort of stubbornness and his indomitable strength and will survive and to continue his work.
Sure. And given the fact that this great romance is at the heart of the film, I suppose that kind of dictated the intensely romantic nature of the score itself, which I found extremely romantic.
It is a love story, so the music had to kind of speak to that, and it had to support the strongly sort of emotional aspect of the story, and because it's a story about an astrophysicist, but it's mainly the story of these relationships and these sort of strange love triangle that develops with the Jonathan character, who's an organist that Jane Hawking starts kind of being involved with. And it's kind of like an odd love story that we see sort of slowly developing over time, and we follow basically the life and the story of these people through several decades. And that was maybe one of the bigger challenges of the score also, was to kind of maintain a kind of unity in the sound and unity in the sort of themes and style of music, while still being able to convey a sense of time throughout these 3-4 decades of these people's lives. You know, without resorting to period pastiche, we wanted the music to be have a kind of timelessness, but still have this kind of arrow, this kind of time's arrow that develops throughout the film. It was a challenge to kind of reconcile these conflicting requirements.
Sure. Well, let's hear some more music from The Theory of Everything, the Oscar-nominated score by Johan Johansson. Including with the cue called Camping, during which things begin to develop. If you've not seen the movie, I don't want to spoil the surprise. And it was done so tactfully and so tastefully, because you don't quite know what happens, if anything, between the two of them.
Yeah, it's done in a very subtle way, and of course we're dealing with people who are still living and who are around, and so discretion, you know, has to be observed. In so,
and
in
of
some
course,
way.
They are English after all.
And so. They are English after all. So there is a certain reticence, I guess.
Absolutely. Built in.
Yeah.
That is composer Johan Johansson. We're playing his Oscar-nominated score for the film The Theory of Everything tonight here on 91.5 Classical KUSC Los Angeles, the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California. So typically, music is the very last element that gets added in any film, and typically the composer is the one who is brought in at the last possible minutes. When did you get involved in the score?
Well, in this particular project, I was brought in after photography was completed and they had started assembling the film, and I received a rough cut, basically, a long rough cut of the film. And but still in that raw form, in that long raw form, it was already a very powerful piece, and you could really feel the power of the performances and the chemistry between the two actors and this amazing transformation that Eddie Redmayne goes through as Stephen Hawking, and transforming from young, vigorous physics student cycling through Cambridge in the beginning and seeing him develop the disease and slowly lose his motor functions and becoming basically immobile and wheelchair-bound and unable to express himself by the end until he receives this wonderful gift of the voice box, the voice synthesizer, which allows him to speak through a computer. And so, yes, it was both sort of good and bad. I'm sometimes also brought in earlier, for example, Denis Villeneuve, I'm working with him for the second time now on a film called Sicario. We worked together on a film called Prisoners. He brings me in much earlier, you know, before photography begins. And there are different ways of approaching this, you know, and there are pros and cons to both approaches. And in this case, there's always a certain kind of creative urgency and kind of a creative energy that you get from having little time, you know, having
sure.
a deadline and having to race against the clock, you know, and that is not necessarily a bad thing, you know, for a composer. It can unleash, you know, a certain nervous energy that can often result in really good, spontaneous musical discoveries.
Sure, sure. Well, it worked for Handel in all the film music he wrote. Of course, in those days, they called film music opera. But yeah, deadlines never hurt.
Exactly.
Here's some more music from the Oscar-nominated score for The Theory of Everything, music by Johan Johansson. Music from the Oscar-nominated score for the film The Theory of Everything, music by Johan Johansson. Who is my guest tonight here on 91.5 Classical KUSC Los Angeles, the member-supported broadcast service of the University of Southern California. How musically hip and or literate was this particular director? I know the range is incredible. From guys who just don't really understand anything about music to someone like the late, great Anthony Minghella, who regularly told Gabriel Yared things like, now, do we really need a Neapolitan sixth chord there? Don't you think it, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it wasn't quite that way with James. But James is definitely a very sort of a musically savvy person. You know, he knows music and he has great taste. He has a good feeling for how music works and can work in film. And he also works with a very good editor, Jinx Godfrey, who is also very astute musically and has great rhythm. And this is very important also.
Because some younger, less experienced directors somehow think that if I need a really great cue at this point, somehow I've not done my job. not realizing that music is one of the greatest allies that a director can have, because this is the thing that can tell an audience what people are really feeling when they themselves can't say it.
Well, I think a director has to know every department. He has to be able to work with actors. He has to, you know, understand cinematography. He has to understand art direction. He has to understand costume design. He has to understand makeup. You know, he has to understand music. And the best directors have a very strong understanding of all these elements that make a film. And I've been very lucky to work with directors who are quite good with music and work well with music, and they understand the power of it, and they understand, you know, when to use it and when not to use it.
Exactly.
You know, which is even more important, I think.
Oh, I think you're right. Absolutely.
When not to. So I think I've been extremely lucky, you know, in my career so far in terms of directors.
Exactly. You know? Pity you're not going to get to work with Robert Altman, who I think is most composers' dream director, because to two well-known film composers, I mean, names are virtually household words, Robert Altman at the first spotting session said, well, we're not really going to do a spotting session because this movie is so good, you can't do anything to mess it up. So do whatever you feel like. Bye.
That is amazing. which of a film was that?
Well, it was two film composers, Pat Doyle and Tommy Newman.
Really?
And he said the same thing. And they produced wonderful scores.
That's amazing. That's a confident director.
It really is. Among so many other things, the film received a nomination for Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne, and of course for its score, the score from Johan Johansson. And needless to say, good luck on Oscar night.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for stopping in.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.